You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4. The banking market is not working well, so said the man who has overseen the Competition and Markets Authority investigation for the past 2 years. And that's mainly because it's very hard for a customer to work out what their bank really costs them. His answer is not to force banks to cut costs, but instead to increase transparency. And central to that reform is the introduction of what's called open banking, which the authority says will shake up banking for years to come. Rob Young, our business presenter, is back with us. And Rob, how would this open banking work?
So this is being described as something of a technology revolution within the world of banking. Now, many people may well have several smartphone apps related to their banking on their phone at the moment, but the Competition and Markets Authority is saying that by 2018, open banking could work in this way. There may well be one app where all of your bank accounts would sit, and that would allow you, whenever you feel like it, to be able to compare the existing financial product you have with others available from maybe the same bank or other banks as well, enabling you to see whether you're getting a good deal or not, and therefore make it simpler for you to switch, because something like 4% of people only switched their bank account last year. And the CMA appears to be saying this morning that the onus is on consumers to try to get a better deal rather than going further, as some people were arguing that the CMA should have done.
And one of the things that people had been looking for in advance was what they would do about capping overdrafts. There was an astonishing report by the consumer group which found that you could go as little as £100 overdrawn with a bank, and you could be clobbered many multiples of times more by a major high street bank than by one of the payday lenders who are capped.
Yeah, which has said that in some cases you are paying 12 and a half times the amount for an unarranged overdraft charge than you would be compared to going to a high street payday loan company, which I think has surprised many people this morning. But the CMA has not gone as far as some people would have liked. They have not said we will introduce a particular cap on the overdraft fees that people can pay. But the CMA has said that we are paying too much for our banking. They have said that banks made more than £1 billion last year from unarranged overdraft fees. But there will be alerts sent out in future. So if you are at risk of going into an overdraft that would lead to some kind of fee or a charge, you would get an alert and a grace period. And so that may well mean that some people are able to put money in their account and therefore avoid getting a charge. But Citizens Advice have said that stronger measures may well be needed if these reforms don't work. And one of the challenger banks this morning, TSB, has said in response to what the CMA has put out, they have said that it is disappointing that the CMA has played right into the hands of the big banks.
Rob Young, thank you very much. Well, we'll speak to the head of the British Bankers Association about the big banks for you in just a moment. First, though, Diane Coyle is Professor of Economics at Manchester University. She used to actually be on the Competition Commission, which was a precursor to the CMA, the Competition and Markets Authority. Good morning, Professor Coyle.
Morning.
Is what we've heard this morning, this idea of more transparency, if you know the costs, you're more likely to move, will it make a difference?
I don't think it will make much difference. The report says the market isn't working well, therefore consumers have to pull their socks up, and they don't tackle the lack of competition in the market itself. I'm not at all sure that these new measures will increase the amount of switching. There's a lot of reliance being placed on more information, but consumers will need to give all of their transactions information to third-party providers. There's the trust question and the security question about that. Do you really want another party to be able to see all the transactions you make in your bank account and be able to tell other potential competitors about that?
Because just to interrupt you on that, the way that the open banking it seems to be suggesting could work is that it's not just those accounts you've signed up to. You can allow other people who you don't have accounts with to look at your history and say, look, this is what we can do for you.
And that's the way that they would potentially offer you a better deal. And there are still frictions as well. You still have to go through the anti-money laundering procedures if you want to switch. And why would you switch? Because all of the services on offer from the main banks are so similar. And what the report doesn't do is tackle the basic problem in the market, which is that the large banks have such enormous cost advantages compared to any potential new entrants, the challenger banks. They have what's called the too big to fail guarantee. They've got a government subsidy that if anything goes wrong, they'll be bailed out. So that allows them to borrow more cheaply. They've got lots of deposits on which they pay essentially no interest. They have that cheap source of money. They don't have to raise as much shareholder capital, so that gives them a cost advantage as well. And there's nothing in the report to tackle these issues, which previous investigations have said were the main problems alongside so-called free current account banking.
OK, so you're suggesting it won't make any difference?
Well, I think it'll help a little bit. And obviously more information will be better. Making the switching process a little bit easier would be better. I'm just really doubtful that it will make enough difference.
So what difference will that make, though, to the new challenger banks? I mean, the hope is that we're starting to see new companies arrive on the scene. Are you suggesting they cannot survive in this environment?
Well, we'll see. But I think their prospects are looking less shiny than they were a little while ago. Metro Bank, one of the successful challengers, has a very successful business model in lots of other markets. It's a proven company, and it has slowed down its pace of expansion recently. And the so-called fintech companies, again, there have been some disappointing results from them recently. So they've made a bit of headway, but just not as much as the hopes that regulators seem to be pinning on them.
How big a deal is this, and the lack of what you suggest will make a significant difference?
It's very disappointing. This is now the third investigation of the banking sector since the financial crisis. There was the Independent Banking Commission, there was the Parliamentary Commission looking at the banks, and now we've had this long CMA report. And it's very disappointing that we've ended up with very, very tame measures taken against the structure of this market. Something that wouldn't have gone as far as breaking up the banks, but would have helped competition, would have been a proper cap on overdraft and other charges. The proposal is that banks have to say in advance what they would charge for an unauthorised overdraft. But it's not a cap. And the way that they allow so-called free current accounts is that they have very high charges on other things. Unauthorised overdrafts, authorised overdrafts, foreign exchange charges when you use your card overseas, fees for this and that. Also, actually, things like the PPI mis-selling, the pressure to make those profits came from having to keep current accounts free. If the regulator had said, we will cap these other kinds of charges properly, then that might have forced banks to reassess this model. And that would allow competition from challengers, because challengers can offer current account services much more cheaply with their new technology. And if you could have got some competition happening on that front, that would really have opened up this market.
OK, Professor Diane Coyle, thank you very much. Well, with us in the studio is Anthony Brown, who's head of the British Bankers Association. Good morning.
Good morning.
And given all the criticism, I'm imagining that you are quite pleased.
The banks are pro-competition. I mean, the banks fight for competition every day. We have the big banks you mentioned, a lot of challenger banks. We represent all of them. New banks are setting up the whole time. And these measures, they're very customer-focused. They're a step in the right direction. They give, as you were hearing, customers more information about what's out there, more information about costs and other measures to make it easier to switch. So generally, a work in progress, building up on things that are already happening often, but some things aren't tackled. So, I mean, you mentioned earlier prudential regulation for challenger banks, their cost of doing business compared to big banks, and certainly if you speak to the challenger banks, for a lot of them, that is their biggest concern.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because you are the British Bankers Association, so presumably you do speak for the newcomers as well as the big boys.
They're all members of the BBA.
And what do they express to you? The frustration that we're hearing?
The biggest concern for some of the challenger banks, not all of them, they've got different business models, is that this doesn't tackle prudential regulation. This is the amount of capital that the banks have to put aside when they make a loan, such as for mortgages.
Which gives the large banks the huge cost advantages and makes the market unfair.
And this is something we've had discussions on with government and with Treasury and with the Prudential Regulatory Authority. And they're totally on board. The issue is that it's actually not in their responsibilities, where it's actually down to European regulations. So we need to speak to the EU about it.
How big a deal is the plan for open banking?
So this is a big deal. It's a big development, having this open data. It's something that's already in progress. The bank's already working on it. And hopefully it will help the promote innovation in banking, providing a range of services that customers will be able to get. And we do it. It's done in the US, for example, and it's led to a whole load of money management programs that help people manage their finance. But there are caveats. This can only be done if people are willing to do it. You cannot force people to give their personal data, which is the most sensitive data you have, your financial data, is how much you earn, the payments you make to other people, the payments you get from people. If they want to keep that just with their bank, they should be able to. And you need to make absolutely clear that if it does go to a third party, that it is securely protected, so there are no leaks of that data. But has potentially, it could be a good
step. Has it made a difference in the States for people switching and the market improving?
It's led to a lot of innovation for different types of products where people, where new providers, third parties come along and help you manage your money. So they tell you each month how much you spend on restaurants, how much you spend on grocery shopping, how much you spend on travel, etc. And people
well,
use
perhaps
that
more importantly, how the much the bank is charging
or
you as well.
Or how much the bank is charging, yeah, all your costs.
I mean, because that's the suggestion from this is that this is going to make a huge difference. It would shake up the market for years. Will it?
Well, all these measures are measures that will help promote competition. And they are, as I said at the beginning, a step in the right direction. Are they an extraordinary revolution? We'll wait to see. Switching is up this year compared to last year. 3 million people have used
4%.
The switching. 4%. 3 million people have used the new current account switch service since it was set up 4 years ago. We always urge people to shop around. If you're not happy with your bank, if you think you're paying too much, shop around.
But
and to shop around, you need to have the information about what other banks would charge.
Okay. Well,
that's good to have transparency.
And that's where this idea, and many people will say, look, the banks are really lucky here. Payday loans are capped. And yet banks, we know from which, have been charging 12 and a half times more than payday loans for somebody who just goes relatively overdrawn, but by a relatively small amount.
So there's a fundamental difference here and a fundamental sort of misunderstanding in some of the reporting. So this is for, these fees are for unauthorised overdrafts. So this is when you go to the shop and you pay for something and you don't have the money in your account and you go overdrawn without telling your bank, without getting permission from your bank. And the bank has the choice of either refusing the payment or allowing the unauthorised
overdraft. Well, it has another choice, which is not to be charging at such high levels.
Either it lets the payment go through when you go to the shop or not. With a payday lender, you're actually going, arranging a loan in advance. You've got the term of the loan, you know how much you're going to pay each time, and it's fully authorised. So it's a difference between unauthorised overdrafts and payday lending,
well,
which
there's
is fully authorised.
There's different ways of looking at it, which is mistakenly going overdrawn.
Authorised overdrafts in banks are, the fees there are very, very minimal. So it's a completely different circumstance. Unauthorised overdrafts is actually borrowing money from your bank without permission in advance.
But the scale...
Without saying how you're going to repay it, without when you're going to repay it, etc.
But there's an argument, surely, that at a certain point it kicks in, either over time or over a certain level, but immediately to go up to less than £100 and to be hit by 12 and a half times a payday loan. Is that acceptable?
It's what is important is that customers have transparency, that they know what the charges are. They get alerts, and most of the high street banks do this already, alert you if you're about to go into an unauthorised overdraft.
They do. Do most and high street banks do that now,
Absolutely, they do that already, and you can opt
in
out
advance
of it. If you don't like
going.
It, you can opt into it. And they do that in advance. And what this does is extend it to the wider industry, and we think that would be generally a good thing. That's good for customers, more information. And having a cap, for the bank to set a cap on the unauthorised overdraft charges, will help customers manage those costs overall. If you are somebody who uses unauthorised overdrafts, who spends more than you're meant to each month, then you'll have more control over your finances, and that will be a good thing.
Anthony Brown, thank you very much. You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.